Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Swinging a drive into the corner in left field. Huge trouble if fair, and it is gone over the wall. A home run. A three-run blast for Salvador Perez. A Darwinson Hernandez absolute implosion. And it's 7-3 Royals. Very difficult to understand why he was on the mound in this spot.
New look Red Sox, dropping one to the Royals last night at the hands of Darwinson Hernandez. Disputed call there. It was a 3-3 game when Alex Cora called on Hernandez in the bottom of the seventh inning. And that call you just heard there was Salvador Perez, who smacked a three-run homer off the foul pole, prompting Cora to come out very calmly, maybe dispute what happened there. And he got tossed. So an eventful night in Kansas City with your brand new Heim Bloom improved Red Sox.
New look. I know you started with new look Red Sox. I said, man, look the same to me.
Well, you got like
nothing's changed. I know he went 0-for-3, but fine, whatever. He's there. But Cora getting thrown out was, I've never seen a manager be thrown out for, which I feel like is, I don't even know what he's. There
not
wasn't
arguing,
a huge like demonstrative.
I just don't think you can question.
He must have said something though,
right?
Think
you can question a replay. You know, it's the same thing as like balls and strikes. If you yelled out there, that's a ball, and he's like, I don't want to hear from you, and he says, well, it was. You question balls and strikes, they'll throw you out. I think if you just, you can't question replays, because it seemed like he just started laughing, and he probably just looked back and said, whatever, you guys missed it. You're out. I mean, and then he was. To say he looked surprised, I don't know what he was doing with his hands on his face, but there was a lot of
hands on eyebrow.
It was the whole time. It was like he was shocked, to say the least, that he got tossed.
I think he was probably speaking in Spanish and saying a bunch of curse words.
Oh, Jesus.
So at the end of the call there, what does he say? It's the reason that Hernandez is out on the mound. No reason that he should be
very
out.
Very difficult to understand why he was on the mound in this spot.
All right, so is it, Lou, I toss this to you.
Yeah.
Are we in a position where we should be questioning what Cora was doing there?
I think it's fair to question. It's always fair to question a manager. I would say that Austin Davis probably seemed like a better option, but he's used him a lot lately. They don't have enough. So you're trying to find, like, someone has to get some guys out. Like, they didn't improve their bullpen. They took a guy out, Diekman, although nobody's upset about it. But still, Bayo just got hurt. So it's like, I'm going to need Barnes to come in here and throw the ball, or Brazier, or Sarmora, or Darwinson Hernandez. I need a lefty. It was lefty, lefty, righty, righty. So it was like it was set up for a lefty. If they had got the lead, they would have brought in Whitlock. It's just that you can't spend the next 58 games throwing Whitlock, Schreiber, and Houck every single freaking night to try to hold on to a W. You can't do it. Like, Whitlock came back from a hip injury, so we don't know how he's feeling. He was up in the pen to come in with the lead. But Schreiber, to me, Schreiber looks spent. I don't know if anybody's noticed or not, but the guy's control the last four or five outings. His ERA is close to 5. He's getting hit. He's not locating. I mean, he's getting away with stuff because he's got good stuff, but he looks spent.
I would question how much of 100% Garrett Whitlock is right now, coming off a hip, too.
Everybody.
He looks gimpy at times, too.
So I need more guys. If we're gonna do this, like, I need Darwinson's got to get lefties out with for me. Josh Taylor's not coming back. Diekman's gone. I got Davis and Darwinson. So we gave it to him, and he didn't get the job done. And this is just sort of the way it goes for these guys right now.
So Alex Cora got ejected. He did talk post-game. Here's him on the decision to use Hernandez in the seventh.
With the two lefties coming up, you wanted a lefty in that spot?
100%, yeah, 100%. We're not going to bring, a righty there just to use him. You know, like we still got three more games in this series, and to burn, you know, like Witt or somebody else like that, you know, it doesn't make sense. We need to do the job there. It's ninth hitter. We ended up walking him, and then, you know, the breaking ball stayed in the middle of the plate, and you know, it's just one of those that it was a tough one. Once they score there, I mean, going to a righty there is hard because we still got games to play in this series.
Trying to save everything he's got. Do you have another quote here where he starts talking about what he has or he needs others to step up, Ryan? Did you have that one? Go ahead.
Now we got two lefties there that we have to do a better job. We got to be better, and we cannot rely on three or four guys. You know, this is a total team effort. You know, I think the at-bats, obviously, the first three were really good ones, and after that, we battled certain at-bats. You know, Haas did an outstanding job, and we struck out a lot today. We didn't do much in the middle of the game. Yeah, you know, Yo-Yo and Plow with the base hit there to get back to the game. But you know, we got to be better offensively. It's something that, you know, we rely on the offense, and we're not swinging the bat well.
Yeah, well, they only had six hits. They struck out nine times. Hosmer, new guy, went 0-3. The Royals, second worst record in the AL. They had 11 hits. So when I heard this post game, I was just, it's just getting so old and monotonous. And just here we go again, Groundhog Day. Like every time, like they lose a game, this is what Cora says. Now, I kind of like the fact that he was saying it before the trade deadline, because you almost felt like he was sending like a, you know, a distress signal to Chaim Bloom.
SOS.
Yes. Hello. We can't rely on three or four guys. We've been saying it all year. So you actually thought, oh, that was fine with it. Okay, we'll see what happens. Well, he's saying it after the trade deadline. There's no one riding in on a white horse. There's nobody going
to
come save the day.
He needs guys to step up.
This is okay. So fine. Play. So then it's the Patriots mentality. Everybody who's on the roster, you need to play better.
Yeah. And Darwinson didn't last night. Because he needs,
but it's always somebody.
He needs Davis. He needs Barnes. He needs Brazier. He needs Sauer Mora. And he needs to be careful with the other guys. Like I said, Schreiber looks spent to me. And Whitlock's still coming off the hip. So, you know, I can only use them with the lead. I can't be chasing, you know, it's tie game. I don't want to go to them. If I go to Whitlock for two and it's tied after eight, now he's done for the next two nights.
Yeah.
See, if I have the lead, like I can't use him. So he's got to kind of ride the fine line of when to use the guys he trusts. So, I mean, yeah, Davis could have came in. He's used him a lot lately. But they got to, you know, those guys got to step up. Someone's got to just.
Oh, no, you just said it.
Someone has to step up.
You got to step up. We have hit the bottom. We have officially hit the bottom.
It is definitely running out of answers. Lou, you got to do
lazy
push-up.
I never liked our show. Our show decided you can't use that term anymore.
We need to start ringing a bell.
Because how else would you put it? So Darwinson's got to be better. Should I go Mac Jones? Darwinson's
got to
be better.
No. Listen,
they all got
to
be better.
The fact is that you're going to, somebody needs, that is a hopeless, like, lost cause.
Hopeless.
You know, I don't know what to say. All the, like, smart things, analytical, critical things, like, information I can give you, it's impossible. They can't figure it out. So I'm left with, someone's got to step up.
They do.
Ooh! Like, if so, here's the craziest thing. They even had their little Chaim Bloom, like, you know, pregame meeting.
Oh,
so
no, it was the rally.
Is that what it was?
No, it was a rally the troops.
Pete Abraham, Red Sox, had a post trade deadline rally the troops team meeting with Chaim Bloom that he took part in. How do you think that went?
No. Let's have some fun and play together. Win on three. One, two, three.
That's exactly
I can imagine.
That's what I hear. I hear Chaim Bloom sounding like Andy Dalton. But that was Andy Dalton, right? Back in his Cincinnati game.
These are the games we play for right here. We worked all season to get to this point. Now let's take advantage of it. Let's have some fun and play together. Win on three. One, two, three.
I would say this. Like, they're
Shut up.
This next few practice. Weeks, the rest of the season is going to look very similar to last year, like at the deadline. Like, you know, they're not doing anything. Like, they're not going to compete for this last wild card spot. They're going to finish probably last. Unless Baltimore collapses.
Wow, you sound like Xander.
It's done. No, it's done. It's done. It's
like
over.
A, Really? You're going to call it.
Red Sox
you want to ring the bell?
Red Sox or Dunsky.
Wow.
I mean, they all knew it's.
That's not a Sam
I'm
Munson.
I'm so glad he said that.
That's not a Sam Munson bold prediction by any means. But
Christian,
well, yesterday you thought they were yesterday you thought they were going to win they're going to make the playoffs. Now you're saying no.
Yeah,
Christian
well,
has a huge
changed.
Smile on his face because he's like, no more baseball talk.
Yeah, some things change.
I'm fine talking baseball.
In 24 hours, things change.
It's not blah blah hockey talk.
No, totally different.
It's just the way it is.
You know what? We were just talking about it earlier and. You know, like, you know, everybody is just confused and the whole, like, what, I don't know what the plan was. You have a player saying it. You have, Martinez saying it. Like, all the ex-players, current players, analysts, you name it, all of them saying, I don't know what the plan was. I can tell you what the plan was. Chaim Bloom doesn't think you're worth it. When I say you, I mean Red Sox players on your roster. He doesn't think you're worth it. He never believed that you were aware that you were far enough along for him to really to feel uncomfortable like you talk about, for really make a move that could burn them. But hell, I got to take my shot because look how good we are.
Yeah, they're done.
Like last year, they were 20 games above 500 at the trade deadline. They didn't do anything. Who the hell thought they were going to do something being where they at the trade deadline this year?
Okay, so
not a chance.
Speaking of the trade deadline, I want to do this because it's kind of fun. I want to highlight this. So this is Jim Bowden from ESPN. He did an MLB trade deadline superlatives. Remember like in your yearbook, you get like most popular, best smile.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I'm not telling
what'd
you.
What'd you get? What did you get? What did you? Oh, come on. Now you got to
tell
us.
Now I got to know.
I'm sure Lou was like.
I got runner up. And to be fair, was like.
That doesn't count.
Third down runner up. Because so many people didn't want
most
it.
Most likely to what?
Runner up.
Worst driver.
wait, runner up to it?
Yeah, runner up so you didn't mean, driver.
Okay. Some Lou, sure up. Lou was like.
They published it. Like three other people got it, and everyone was like, no, I don't want to be in the
yearbook
for that.
The person that beat you out, did they like have a serious car crash?
No, there
something?
Were like in the three hospital? People in front of me, and I was like, yeah, I don't care. You can put me in.
Well, you guys went deep, huh? Three or four people tops. Wow.
We took it very seriously.
Mine was, I was just most
give me
athletic.
The superlatives from Mr. Bowden.
What did you? School.
What did you get, Lou?
I don't know. Most athletic, probably. I think it was.
Uh-huh.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, most likely to succeed.
There's no, yeah, there you go.
Most likely to never leave his hometown.
Yeah,
exactly. Framingham's own.
He went to Marshfield.
All right, so come on.
Okay, so Red Sox, despite not making like a huge splash, they are all over his superlatives list. So first one he puts out there, best buyer and seller at the same time. None. The Red Sox and Giants tried to do this and failed.
Nice.
Okay, next one. Worst positional fit, Tommy Pham with the Red Sox. The Red Sox have Alex Verdugo, whose best position is left field, and J.D. Martinez is their designated hitter. Pham is just not a great fit defensively. So he goes down a couple more. Player who was traded who shouldn't have been, Christian Vasquez. The Red Sox were caught in between buying and selling, but I think they were close enough in the wild card race that they needed to keep Vasquez, given his value to their pitching staff and clubhouse. Team that did the most damage to clubhouse morale, the Red Sox.
It keeps going.
Wait, is he a local guy?
No, it's all the league.
It's all Red.
This is Major League Baseball. This is a national writer.
Yeah. Yes.
Who had? Okay, so who had team leader Xander Bogaerts publicly uncertain about what his front office was doing? Player most frustrated by the deadline, Eric Hosmer, now on the Red Sox, who was initially part of the Soto package, headed to the Nats, but they were on his no-trade list, and he refused the move. Then he was traded to the Red Sox. He didn't want to leave San Diego.
So he's pissed he left San Diego.
So now you have a very sad Eric Hosmer with a very pregnant wife coming back to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So out of those six, were there more than six or there were six? So they were five out of the six?
No, there was six of them in there where they mentioned the Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
He had like a whole bunch, like 20 in the whole article.
Well, still, that's like out of all the teams, like look how many like issues they have. I love the best buyer and seller at the same time.
None.
Yeah, man, it's them.
Two teams tried to do
most
it. They both
damaged the clubhouse morale. The player who shouldn't have been traded, that one, the Vasquez one is the one that's still kind of, he was the only guy traded. Like Contreras wasn't traded. He was the number one catcher. Sean Murphy was the number one, you know, long-term catcher. Neither one of those guys traded. You were the only catcher traded. And you, I don't know, could you have waited another night? Maybe whoever missed out on Contreras? Could you have gotten more out of Vasquez? Should Vasquez have been the first guy that was moved off of this team? You could question all of that. But I think, you said before, like, people don't know what's going on. I don't really think, and this is pretty fair to say, I don't think anyone knows what was going on. Not just analysts, not just clubhouse guys, I mean, manager, I mean, you name it. I don't think anyone knows what the hell the plan or what happened here at the deadline for this organization. Nobody.
2022 Boston Red Sox.
Nobody.
What the hell was the plan? We're going to check in on the Deshaun Watson situation. We have Amy Dash, legal expert with Odyssey. She's going to join us in just about 15 minutes, and we'll hear the latest from Tony Busby, of course, the attorney who's representing all of those alleged victims. We're going to get to that right after Trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Getting into some of the latest Deshaun Watson news. We're going to talk to Amy Dash, Odyssey legal insider, in just a couple of minutes. She's going to call
break
in
it down.
Here. But first, let's hear from Tony Busby. He had a press conference, I believe, yesterday it was. First off, he started off by talking about the massage therapists. So the dozens of massage therapists who he represented, some of them were interviewed by the NFL, not all. But what did that interview process go like? Can we hear this first cut here, Ryan?
From the very beginning, we have been open and cooperative with the NFL. At the NFL's request, we made our clients available. We spent hour upon hour in these interviews. From the beginning, one of the first questions asked by the NFL investigators of our clients was, "What were you wearing?" That gave us a lot of pause. Some of the interviews spent most of the time on a deep dive of the victim and little to no questions about the conduct that was being alleged. In some cases, it was our view that when the questioners weren't being aggressive and hostile, they really weren't that interested in what was being said or what had actually happened. Many of our clients left those interviews thinking that they had not been heard.
All right, I want to hear a little bit more here. So I find that kind of disturbing. What were you wearing? As if like they're coming in a bikini top or something to give them a massage.
You deserve it. Like, look at you dressing like that. What do you expect he would do?
So weird.
You're very attractive when you have no clothes on.
Well, yeah, because he looked at my Instagram page, hunting me down.
He was literally trolling for good-looking women who he thought he could hook up with.
So let's hear a little bit more from Busby, what his clients said that the interviews felt like with the NFL.
One of the women said, "This decision makes me feel defeated." She said, "When I was interviewed with the NFL, it felt more like an interrogation. asking me the same questions over and over, hoping that I would fumble the story about what I experienced so they could claim what I was saying was untrue. They didn't seem interested in the truth, and it's incredibly disheartening.
Well, see, that part, I'm like, well, okay, they do need to get down to the bottom of it, and there have been players who have been falsely accused. So, yeah, I don't know why that doesn't bother me. They want to make sure you tell the same story over and over again with no changes. That's normal for as far as I'm concerned. Like, yes, I want to make sure that you're not just trying to shake
like
him down.
There's two parts of it. Like, number one, like, you know, what were you wearing? I don't know. I mean, I guess you got to throw that out there. I have no idea. And
really?
Like you said.
Do you? Does it matter?
Listen, I don't know. But I'm saying you need to present both sides. You need to, you know, ask over and over the questions to make sure their stories are real. But then you got to get to the other side of it, you know, and talk more about what happened, what Deshaun Watson did. And it sounds like they never got to that. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, I'm going to question you to try to find out how valid you are and your whole story and everything else. But then I want to hear exactly what happened. And it sounds from even just hearing him a little bit that it never got to that. They weren't really interested in that.
So here's the thing to me. If you're coming in and you're questioning alleged victims who are alleging assault or something traumatic at the hands of somebody in the league, player, coach, trainer, whatever, you got to handle it with a little bit of tact. Right? Like, treat the person like a human being. Don't treat them like they're a criminal who's coming down to the station to give a statement.
But here's the thing. You're receiving this information from Tony Busby.
Right. Of course. He has a vested interest.
So I do question his motives his agenda.
Let's hear straight from one of the women who has alleged assault. This is Ashley Solis. This is the one person, I believe, who has not settled her case against Deshaun Watson. Can we hear what the last 2.5 years have been like for her?
These past 2.5 years for me have been a very trying time. The whole situation has been emotionally and mentally taxing. I've received multiple death threats, had angry people approach me in public, and I've had hundreds, if not thousands, of people say terrible and vile things about me on the internet. In the beginning, this type of conduct really hurt me. Then as time went by, I became numb to it.
Okay, so that's where I go from. You might think that there's an extortion going on here for Deshaun Watson. You might, not you personally, I'm saying people out there. You know, I a couple weeks ago, I was with friends who, three friends, one of them is a huge Browns fan.
Okay.
And the other two are huge, they're Clemson alum and they're huge Clemson fans. And so it was a very interesting debate to hear the Browns fan was like, God, I'm so embarrassed that this is our quarterback. I don't know what to do. And the two Clemson fans were like, let me tell you why I think Deshaun Watson's innocent. And I was like, okay, you know, this is an interesting little group of people to get a perspective from. I think even if you think this is some kind of case of extortion or something, you hear something like that and that your heart goes out to somebody like that.
No, 100%.
Why would you bring that on yourself?
Why would the young lady who...
Ashley Solis, why would she bring all of that crap on herself and still not settle?
No, I agree with you. I think that she's the only one that hasn't agreed to take some sort of, you know, settlement offer. So she must be the one who's the most angry.
Yeah.
And maybe the most hurt and refuses. Listen, and I'm all for it. Great. Do it. Stick it to him. Like, he's earned it. Like, but this is, to me, it's when you're talking about, like, you know, the court of public opinion, I would think that Deshaun Watson would be losing more than he is.
I know.
I would think that he should be losing more than he is. I just sit there and I keep seeing all these clips and these footage of him at practice and, you know, they're working out and they're in the weight room and they always bring it together at the end of a workout session. Everybody puts their hands in and he's running that drill. Like he's the leader. Like, hey, we've decided that you're the leader. You're the quarterback. Paying you a lot of money. I just don't understand like how some of the players, like if they took the time to read any of it, even if they were, you know, didn't want to believe it. Like there's so many things you go, this guy is a freaking weirdo. He is.
Can we hear that second cut from Angela Solis talking about her thoughts on the NFL and how they've handled it?
I'm here today to express my thoughts about the NFL and its proceedings. What do the actions of the NFL say to little girls who have suffered at the hands of someone perceived to have power? That it's not a big deal? That they don't care? Tough shit. That's what I've taken from their actions.
See, to me, it's like when she starts talking about like hands of someone of power, like all that she's been through, and she's still sticking with it. And like, if this came down like before the whole Me Too thing blew up, I wouldn't be surprised one bit. But I feel like if this happened, like, what's five? When were we in the, right in the middle of it? When was it? Five, six,
Me
7 years ago?
Yeah. It was like 2017, 2018.
Okay, so if this was 2017, he'd be suspended for a year and a half. I felt like, you know, like now, like you pointed out, Christian, it's like, I know people are getting on him. You know, I've always said it wasn't covered as much as probably it should have been or would have been if it was somebody else who people didn't like before this. You know, but I don't know. I think in the conclusion, it was like because it was a nonviolent sexual assault crime. And it was like, go back 4 or 5 years ago. Remember when mental health meant something? Like what these victims were going through? Like what they've gone through. You listen to this woman, what she's been through in the past. Like just a year or two ago, we were talking more about like mental health and the destruction that something like this would happen on women. And we got to respect that, or men, whatever, all of it. And I feel like with one case, it's like all out the door. It's just like, six games. Get your quarterback back. He's out there leading practice, and people are trying to defend it.
It is weird, though, and I don't know what it is. It's because he's you know, beloved, and
Because he's really good at throwing the football.
I know, but there's been other people who have been really good at stuff, and they do bad things, and they get ripped for it. I feel like maybe it's because there's no trial. He hasn't been found guilty of anything. There were civil cases, and he settled them. Maybe because people feel like he's being taken advantage of, they're trying to shake him down.
I think this is the case so often with cases of alleged sexual assault, is if there's no hard evidence, there's no video, there's no recording.
Or even
a recording of him talking about it or something that you can point to, people are very quick to kind of move along.
And he still denies it 100%. He said he's not guilty of anything.
This just depends on who it is. Because when Antonio Brown was accused of taking his junk out and pleasuring himself with the girl right behind him, it was viewed a lot differently than when this guy did it on the table to multiple women. Yeah, it just viewed differently.
But he also continued to play.
Because it's Antonio Brown.
But he also continued to play in the league. Like, he didn't get knocked for that. He got knocked in the court of public opinion.
No, he got suspended.
Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown got suspended. Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, no, he did.
Oh, my God. He was out of the league for, like, forever. And then they finally reinstated him. He lost his mind again. But I'm just saying, it's how you feel about the guy initially. I mean, nobody likes Trevor Bauer. Nobody cares. This guy's been suspended for 2.5 years for one woman. You know, accusation that wasn't criminal charges. Nobody liked him. In 2.5 years, everyone's fine with it. Some people, I remember baseball reporters were like, ain't enough. I'm like, geez, ain't enough. 2.5 years, $35 million a year. This guy's going to lose $333,000. And it's like, okay, they're going to appeal it, and we'll see what happens. Week 7, who do they play? What's the over-under? Deshaun Watson, touchdowns. It's crazy.
Let's check in with Amy Dash on the Harbor One Hotline. This is our Odyssey Legal Insider. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. So, just want to ask you, with this case, with the 6-game suspension with Watson, has the NFL done more damage to its brand? Can it be repaired with a lengthier suspension and possible monetary fine?
Well, that's a little bit of a tricky question, because I really think there's a huge divide in the people that watch the product, people who love football and who really don't want to hear about the stuff that the players do off the field, no matter how egregious. And then there are people who care about both, you know, watching football, but want to see the league do the right thing, want to root for players that they believe in as people. So I think it's hard for the NFL to measure that. And that's why I think we see this constant back and forth and inconsistency in all the different punishments. And you know, in more serious cases, like with Ray Rice, or even Tom Brady or Ezekiel Elliott, we'll see the league sort of going back and forth, trying to adjust the punishments and then defend the punishments and not sure when to defend the punishments. So I think the league sort of is playing off of public opinion. And right now, public opinion is angry, for the most part at least, that there would be a conclusions and findings that were as strongly worded as they were and as definitive as they were, and that there would be only a 6-game suspension. So I think there needs to be a lengthier suspension. And I do think people want to move on from this case. So I think if there is a lengthier one and a fine, perhaps, maybe there will be less people talking about it.
Yeah, but Amy, like, I'm looking at this. So you bring in the both sides, NFLPA and the NFL. They both agree on a highly respected former judge. And they say, you know what, in matters that are really too difficult for us to handle and we don't want it to be contentious, you handle it. We're both agreeing that you're the smarter person and you don't have an axe or grind on either side. You're impartial. She comes back with a ruling, this well-respected, you know, judge, and then nobody likes it. So she went into the NFL. She went in. She goes into the NFL's practices. She probably says, this is your guys' system is terrible. But, okay, you created. I'm right. Ruling based on what you did. Yet now nobody's I feel like they should just hold it and keep it the way it is. You made your bed, now sleep in it.
Well, but everybody knew this was the process. That's the funny part. Everyone knew that the NFLPA back at the last CBA agreement said, okay, this is going to be our new procedure and there's going to be an appeal. And if the NFL doesn't like what they see, they can make the final decision. So not much change. Nobody said anything about it until the case came up. And everyone's saying, well, what about this judicial system that you've created and the federal judge you've brought in? And there is no judicial system in the NFL. That's a fallacy. That's like a facade. They're trying to maybe bring in somebody to make it seem like, oh, our prosecutors have decades of experience. But like the judge said, when you look at the legal framework that's in place, there is none. There's a several-page personal conduct policy with broad terms, vague terms, and everything's open to interpretation. There's room for arbitrary and discretionary suspensions. There's no consistency. And by the way, all of these things are the total opposite of what happens in an actual courtroom.
Exactly.
There are definitions,
exactly.
There are expectations. So, and by the way, you know, laws, this is kind of an interesting thing. Laws that are challenged, let's say somebody says, oh, this law is unconstitutional. One of the things the court will look at is it overly broad? Is it overly vague? Is it arbitrary? Is it discretionary? These are things that would actually invalidate documents like the personal conduct policy if they were actually challenged.
So that's
the interesting thing.
So just before I give you to Lou, like real quick, like so that's, I guess my point is that if the NFL was going to start from scratch and create some standard protocols and, you know, operating procedures, wouldn't they like do it? Do you think they would do it differently, or keeping it vague benefits them?
Like, is it intentional that it's so broad and vague?
It's intentional.
So
it's all intentional. They've got to have the final say. So that's why I think it's kind of funny, because I hear everybody saying, "Well, but the precedent of the other cases." There is no precedent, okay? There's not even one similar case to this. There are no cases that form some sort of a predictable pattern or, you know, a body of cases like you see in the law where you have similar fact patterns and everybody sort of, you know, gets judged by the same standard. You don't have that here. You have punishments all over the place. And someone's saying, but Ezekiel Elliott in this one. No, you can't make those comparisons. So there's no precedent. It's not a real court system. Everybody's bought into it. And the NFL's just doing whatever suits their bottom line.
All right. We're talking to Amy Dash, our Odyssey Legal Insider. Amy, I'm more concerned about the NFL's appeal case. I hope it's not a PR move or optics. But Judge Robinson, she didn't dispute. The NFL proved his three arguments against Deshaun Watson. And he clearly violated the league's personal conduct policy. So does that open the door for Roger to actually win an appeal? What are the odds?
Yeah. So that very good, because of there were so many violations found, right? She concluded that they met their burden of proof, that more likely than not, he did sexually assault four women, that it was intentional, that he used his status as an NFL player to prey on women, that he put them in a genuine danger of their safety and well-being, that he violated the conduct detrimental to the league portion of the personal conduct policy. So with so many violations, a year actually seems pretty reasonable. He could go in and justify a year suspension if that's what this designee of his wants to do. But there's a lot of groundwork there to even banish him from the league if that's what they want to do. I don't think that will happen. But there's definitely going to be some sort of an increase in the suspension.
We're talking to Amy Dash, Odyssey Legal Insider on the Harbor One Hotline. So Deshaun Watson, he has one civil case left that is yet to be settled. That's Ashley Solis. Do you have any theory as to why she hasn't settled yet? And could Watson face more discipline if she continues to hold out?
You know, I don't know the details of any particular cases. I don't want to get too much into that. But what I will say is I saw a press conference where she stood up and said that she wants to be an example to girls and women to show that when you perceive that someone's more powerful than you, and you might be scared of that person, to be able to speak up and take the power back, so to speak. And, you know, she said it way more eloquently than I'm saying it right now. But she wants to serve as an example that people can come forward with their stories. So maybe that's why she's holding out, if in fact she is. But I thought the press conference was really telling because Busby and Solis, you know, really talked about some of the things that were going on behind the closed doors of the NFL with this investigation that were very noteworthy. And the most glaring one was that there were 24 accusers. They only spoke to 10 people and didn't want to talk, according to Busby, to any more of his clients, turning away sworn statements, not involving them at all in the hearing, not asking them to get up there and speak before the arbitrator. So, you know, he points out that this process, the way it made these accusers feel, at least, and the way the suspension made these accusers feel, in spite of a finding that their stories were believed by the judge, they still felt that they, you know, didn't even get a semblance of justice here.
All right, so we're talking to Amy Dash. Now, Amy, last one. Have you been following the Dan Snyder case at all? You testified. I know he testified for like almost 11 hours before the U.S. House Oversight Committee. So, and I know the NFLPA has been using Dan Snyder, Robert Kraft, and others as like an example of, you know, what a punishment should look like. What's going on with Dan Snyder and his case to kind of maybe benefit Deshaun Watson? Anything at all?
Well, I think that Dan Snyder, I've lost count of how many investigations there are into Dan Snyder. There's like a congressional investigation. There was an investigation by the NFL into the workplace. And then now the NFL has a second investigation with, I think, Mary Jo White into Dan Snyder and allegations specifically directed at him. But I think that he's gone. I really think it's just a matter of time before Dan Snyder is either voted out or he voluntarily sells the team. And that, I believe, is going on behind closed doors because it's just reached a level where he just can't be associated with the league anymore. You know, it's too distracting. There's too many allegations against him. And now with Congress gunning for him, I think he'll be gone. And I think people are happy with, for the most part, that Stephen Ross was disciplined. Some people are saying it was a little bit lax, but the NFL obviously did that to show that, hey, owners are subject to this policy too, which is interestingly something that the judge put in her opinion.
Amy Dash, as someone who grew up in the Washington area, you have just made my day with that comment about Dan Snyder. So thank you so much for joining us. Amy Dash, Odyssey Insider on the Harbor One Hotline there. Continue to follow the Deshaun Watson appeal as that plays out. But we got to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to talk about the Celtics. Yes, it's time to think about Jason Tatum's next contract. We'll do that in just a minute.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That's new.
What?
This guitar riff? No.
It's not.
Oh.
It's new?
It's not new.
No? Did you do this?
I thought you saw breaking news on your computer or something.
Have you played this before?
Yes, I have.
It's actually the Beatles.
Is it the Beatles?
This is one of George Harrison's
Christian.
Hits.
Off the Blackbird album.
I am not a fan of the Beatles. I'm not a fan of the Beatles.
Am I
allowed to say that?
Are you a Rolling Stones guy?
I mean, no, not really.
Okay.
I mean, like, I don't know. I was never really into...
Back to my childhood.
I was never really into rock and roll.
What?
Right? Like, can I say that?
What do you listen to?
Beastie Boys.
Rap.
Like rap?
Run DMC.
Like rap.
LL Cool
rap.
J.
Yeah,
you can like rap and rock and roll.
N.W.A.
Salt and Pepper.
God,
Dougie Fresh. Kumo D. I am a nightmare walking in. Psychopath talking.
Yeah, exactly.
King of my jungle, just a gangster stalking. Yeah. That was it.
Stuff like that.
Stuff I could break dance to.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like parachute pants and cardboard.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we have the towels on the floor over here.
I'm
going to
practice my windmill. Yeah.
Because I'm in pain. She knows all the words. So now that we found love, what are we going to do?
With it.
Yes.
Anyway, we just had an excellent interview. Yes. We had an excellent interview with Amy Dash. If you missed it, talking about the Deshaun Watson case and a few other things, including the Dan Snyder 11-hour hearing in front of the, what is it, House Oversight Committee?
Yeah, you like the fact that you think Daniel Snyder is going to be thrown out of the league.
I want all the Snyders out. I don't want to go into
his wife.
I want all the Snyders out.
No control.
No Snyders.
I'm not
in
a chance.
DC.
I call not. I say
I
not
a
chance.
Snyder pretzel.
No.
I want them all out.
What do you think? What's the difference between Snyder and who is that? Richardson, the guy that used to own. I forgot his first. The guy that used to own the Carolina Panthers.
One's a racist and one's like a sexual predator.
Well, yes. I mean, okay.
That's
so
a good
they should,
explanation, Tyler.
Okay. They supposed to be gone then, right?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, are we going to like say one's worse than the other? Like one's a sexual predator, one's a racist.
Yes.
I think Ty's a hard worker.
Yeah, thank you, my guy.
That is out of context.
There's no way that Dan Snyder. I'll bet you on this one.
Okay, you
I'll bet,
bet
you on this one. I'll make you bet. There's no way.
What are we going to bet? Let's bet.
It's got to be painful. This one's got to be because you love this team, and it's my,
no,
obviously.
No, I don't. I told you I abandoned this team.
No. But in your heart, you still have some love and appreciation for them.
No.
You're just angry.
You know what I have?
You're venting because you're angry,
angry,
which means you're really hurt.
I know.
Let's go.
In a year
really
or two,
deep dive.
If the Commanders are good again, you'll be a big Commander fan again.
She'll roll in with her.
Oh yeah, you will.
Because Snyder will be gone.
If Snyder is out of the team, if all the Snyders are out of their involvement,
how many are there?
Well, there's his wife.
I'm just thinking, I don't know
what his kids do. I don't know if he has children. I'm not that interested in him personally.
Is any like a real special nephew?
Know what that means.
Well, I mean, it's not what you know. I mean, like his buddy. Ah, I don't have any kids of my own, so I'm going to teach my nephew the ropes. You're going to start off and you're going to be, you know, try to start off in the equipment room, then you're work your way up, and soon you're going to be running
the team.
You
want to make a bet. If the Snyders are out of town, out of the
Okay,
we've got to
say the Snyders. I don't think the Snyders will be run out of town. I think there's enough wiggle room for him.
We could force the family
to sneak out of it.
No Snyder family members involved in ownership.
Christian, you know the name Marty Herney?
Yeah, I know Marty. Yeah,
he was
the GM
when you were in Carolina, correct?
Yes.
What
did he do?
Nothing bad, of course. He is with the Washington.
I love him.
Oh, no.
I love Marty Herney.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's with the Washington Commodores currently, and he's the EVP of football / player personnel. So he's like very, very close, almost the football right-hand man for the Snyders.
Okay. Get him out.
Are they threatening him?
No. Not,
okay.
Yeah, what does this have to do with anything, Tyler?
Well, if you want to get rid of the Snyders, maybe Marty Herney's next in line.
Okay.
Maybe he's
as like the president.
Nephew.
He could be the president.
See, there is going to be.
I will tell you, like rich guys don't just give up their shiny object like without a fight. Like Snyder is not giving up his team.
He has been fleeing Congress on a yacht.
Doesn't
in
matter.
Israel.
So what? That's my
he's
point.
Been sailing
that is my point.
The world, Christian.
I can still force him to sell.
He's keep like, saying no.
He's like on the lam.
I know.
Congress. I know.
But he finally. That is my point. Guys, billionaires don't just walk away from free money. Like, he's not walking away from this team. There's not a chance in hell. So he already did one thing. He basically gave the ownership to his wife, and so she's running it, but he's still there.
But it's not like they're giving the team away. They'll sell it to someone.
No, he's not giving up the team.
You
he
think
will
it's
not
about
control.
Pride at this point?
Yes. What do you think? I mean, I feel like you probably know more about him than I do. I played on his team.
You know more about you were
Yeah, he was
commander.
Awesome though. He was great. Like
what
whatever
do you, mean
you
he was awesome.
Whatever you
Christian.
Wanted, whatever you wanted, he gave you. We had this deal through Nike, okay, and through the league where you had to designate.
Christian, you told me
listen,
that was the worst franchise
no,
you
no,
played
no,
for.
No, Joe Gibbs. Yeah, I know. But listen.
Oh,
he gave us
Joe Gibbs.
Oh, he was terrible too. He was a nightmare.
You loved Joe Gibbs.
I hated Joe Gibbs.
You loved Joe
Gibbs. But my point is,
stayed in NASCAR.
He gave you everything you wanted. That's why he was so bad. If we were losing and we said, you know what? I think it's the shoes. And even though you're not legally or technically allowed to change your shoes, something from black to white, like he would say, you know what? If this is what it takes to win, I'm going to make sure you guys can wear white shoes. Even though we had already identified the fact that we were wearing black shoes. It's
Christian,
a technical thing.
Do you hear yourself? He let you wear white shoes instead of black
shoes? You're not listening
to
me. My reason for him being terrible is the fact that he just did whatever you wanted him to do. Like, he kept the players happy. Somebody bitched about the hotel. Next time we know it, we're staying at the Ritz. Somebody complained about the food. Next thing you know, it's catered through the best food. As a player, it was easy street.
I don't know what to do right now.
What?
Defending the worst owner in professional sports.
I'm
because
defending
he let you
him.
Wear the shoes that you wanted to wear.
I guess my point is, the reason he's such a terrible owner.
And he brought women in for us.
Yeah, and then we wanted to check out the cheerleaders in their locker room. He drilled a hole in the wall.
And he assigned a cheerleader to each guy in the roster.
Each guy was designated one cheerleader.
Yes. So I love him. He's a good guy.
That's why he was terrible. Because you could manipulate him. You could screw with him. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. And technically, in the end, like, he was one of the worst owners I've ever had. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. Like, if you told him somebody was good and it was a bright, shiny object, he would sign that person even though everybody told him not to. Like, he was a disaster.
I know. I lived through it.
Okay, so as a player.
Let us wear white cleats.
You're not allowed to bring signs into the stadium.
Clinton Portis stood up in the middle of a meeting.
I love Clinton Portis.
In the middle of a meeting, he yelled at Joe Gibbs because he thought we were losing because of the cleats we were wearing. Joe Gibbs went to Dan Snyder, came back a day later and said, you know what? Okay, I talked to Dan.
Hell.
Exactly. Dan's good. You know what? You guys got a great owner. Dan's good. Dan called the league, and you guys can wear whatever shoes you want. And we lost like 6 games in a row. Okay? We sucked. It was terrible.
Yeah, but you were happy because you got to wear the cleats.
And we got to stay in the Ritz.
And you got a nice hotel. Nice. Wow.
And you had a cheerleader.
Each person had a cheerleader.
And call girls flown in from Dallas for you.
Hey, whatever you want.
We need to come up with a bet that we're doing, Christian. A bet about the Snyder's involvement.
You're right. Like, it made it seem like I love him. I love the fact that I was like done with my career. I didn't care if we won or lost. I just wanted easy street. Mm-hmm.
All
is that better?
So that was Celtics talk.
And a free cheerleader.
Right?
I don't know what happened either.
So that was Jason Tatum contract talk. Maybe we'll do that later. We have to go around the NFL right after the break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.